Before the miners and tourists came to western South Dakota, paleontologists were in the area digging up fossil remains of vanished creatures. In 1843, part of a fossilized jawbone from an ancient mammal was found in the Badlands, and the published paper on the fossil attracted the interest of paleontologists. Some four decades later, the fossil and mineral collection of Professor G.E. Bailey formed the foundation for the Museum of Geology at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. And today, the museum's extensive collections encompass fossil and mineral specimens from around the world, along with historical documents, photographs, equipment, and recent biological specimens. Darren Paniek is curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Museum of Geology, and he joins us here in the studio. And Darren, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Well, can you take us back to 19th century? I'm wondering what the field of paleontology was like at that time.
In some ways, very significantly different than it is today, and others very similar. All right, many of the processes that we utilize to find and excavate fossils have not changed in the past 150, 160 years. However, the mechanisms by which we access those fossils have certainly changed. There are no more horse-driven, ox-driven carts. We're now using four-wheel drive vehicles. It's probably today a much more comfortable experience in a relative sense, all right? But the techniques that we utilize to excavate the fossils in terms of digging them up, encasing them in plaster and burlap, and bringing them back to the lab have not changed very little. So,
what was the situation like in South Dakota around the time of 1843 regarding what was being found? Was that about the time when paleontologists were starting to becoming aware of what was happening, or what the history is of western South Dakota and what was here in this area?
Absolutely, yes. Of course, paleontology in North America really opened up with the Louisiana Purchase and Lewis and Clark exploring the western United States. And mostly what was happening at this time in western South Dakota was school teachers and naturalists discovering some of the fossils and then sending them back to the big institutions back east. Another major facet that expanded the fossil resources in western North America were army surveys, military surveys by fellows such as Joseph Leidy, who were out analyzing and surveying for geological resources, but who then came across these fossils and sent them back, or took them back with them, and continued their research back east.
What is it about western South Dakota, the Badlands and the Black Hills, northwest part of the state, that makes it such a rich place for fossils?
There are two major factors. The first factor is the fact that western South Dakota did not get hit by the glaciers at the end of the last ice age. Eastern South Dakota is covered with a pretty thick layer of glacial sediment that is very, very young, between 10,000 and maybe 200,000 years old, right? So western South Dakota did not receive that cover, right? The second thing that happened is the Black Hills were uplifted. And as the Black Hills uplifted, they brought several of these subsurface layers to the surface around the edges of the Black Hills. And so because of the uplift of the Black Hills, we now have everything from Paleozoic fishes that are some 350, 400 million years old, all the way through the age of dinosaurs, and multiple deposits from the age of mammals after the dinosaurs went extinct.
Now, is that unusual to have a place so rich with that wide, from all these different periods of ancient history and prehistoric times?
We're fairly lucky here in the sense that we do have a fairly good representation. Most other places that you would go, you would have very good representation of a particular time period, say the late Cretaceous when the dinosaurs lived, or the Miocene when a number of interesting mammalian forms lived. We're fairly lucky here in the sense that we do have such a broad spectrum of time represented in such a fairly restricted geographic range. So I can have my students out to any number of these sites within an hour and a half of Rapid City.
You can probably just walk out the door at the School of Mines.
We actually can. Yeah. That is possible. Yeah, that has happened. So we have found fossils at the base of the hill where the Star Village apartments are. So they are literally right there.
So fossil hunting, it seems like this is something, particularly here in the Black Hills, that will in western South Dakota, that you're never going to find them all.
Absolutely not. No. And hopefully we'll never stop looking.
And what... What is like the oldest fossil that's been discovered in this area?
Some of the oldest fossils that we find in this area are from the Deadwood Formation, which is approximately 530 million years old. We find some remains of arthropods called trilobites and some other shelly organisms. There's evidence of some possible earlier fossils, but when you get that far back in time, most of the organisms were very soft-bodied, and so they didn't preserve as well. So it becomes very difficult to interpret exactly what they are prior to this the Cambrian period.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're here in Rabbit City. Guest is Darren Paniak. He's curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Museum of Geology at the South Dakota School of Mines. And it would seem like for you and other paleontologists that this is just probably the perfect place in North America to be, maybe even the world. I don't know. You know,
I consider myself so lucky to be able to work and do this, to do this as a living in this region. Not only do I love the fossil resources here, I love the people. I love the region. You know, I would have a very difficult time doing this anywhere else. And it is primarily because everything is so close. I don't have to travel halfway across the country to do my field work. I can take an afternoon and escape from the office and go do what it is that I love to do.
Has this the School of Mines always been interested in paleontology?
Absolutely, yes. The school was founded, of course, in 1885. And our first fossil expeditions into the Badlands were led by C.C. O'Hara in 1899. And it was there that we collected our very first fossil, a nearly complete alligator skeleton from the Badlands. And there has been a nearly inseparable relationship ever since.
What has the fossils and the research done in this part of South Dakota, this part of the world? What has this done for understanding of the past?
In many instances, the fossil-rich deposits of South Dakota contain some of the most complete records from given time periods in the world, right? For example, the late Cretaceous, where we find dinosaurs such as Tyrannosaurus rex, Triceratops, duck-billed dinosaurs. This is one of the few areas in the world where we actually have a preserved record of the end of the age of dinosaurs. And it's one of the only places in the world where we can actually see that transition from the extinction of dinosaurs into the early age of mammals. It's also one of the only places in the world where we find abundant fossils from the Oligocene epoch, about 35 million years ago. All these wondrous mammals that we find out in the Badlands, nowhere else in the world do we see fossils in as high abundance. So we really have some very crucial pages in the history book that is the geologic record of the Earth.
In studying the geologic record and, for example, the end of the age of the dinosaurs, you know, you're dealing with millions and millions of years ago. I'm wondering what this research does and how it can be applied to, say, today and concerns of today, like, say, for example, changes in climate.
Mm-hmm. Paleontology is the only way by which we can observe long-term changes and long-term response by plants and animals to environmental change. And of course, in our current concerns with climate change can be modeled based on what we see in the geologic past. How do organisms respond to climate change? Is it detrimental? Is it beneficial? And there are actually many paleontologists who are conducting this type of research, helping us interpret what will the floral and faunal response be to climate environmental change.
In going back to the Museum of Geology and the techniques of paleontologists, I'm wondering if there's a new technology that's being used that's being helpful in this field.
Absolutely. Technology is changing the face of vertebrate paleontology, in paleontology period, particularly in the 21st century. Things such as CT scans are allowing us to basically virtually prep specimens. All right, we can run a CT scan of a specimen and access parts of this parts of, say, a skull that would be nearly impossible to access physically by means of removing rock. We are able to use geochemical techniques to analyze precisely what animals were eating, or analyze to a very precise degree what ocean temperatures were. So technology is becoming a major, major boon to paleontology. The other thing that technology is helping us with is accessibility. Global paleontological databases are allowing me, as a paleontologist in South Dakota, to look at fossils and fossil occurrences and specimens from collections all over the world. So the interconnectedness of the modern world is really helping advance paleontology.
And the Museum of Geology is a part of that as far as having records that are then shared with the other people in your field as well?
Absolutely. We're in the midst, actually, of a ongoing project right now that is helping us achieve that, so helping us get our records out to the general scientific public.
How many digs are going on at a time? Like right now, are there digs going on everywhere, not only your own, but and we're talking about this area of Western South Dakota. I mean, how many are going on?
The big thing that dictates when we run digs is the weather, of course. Mm-hmm. It's a little difficult to conduct digs in the winter for a number of different reasons. Obviously, the snow is covering the outcrop. And the plaster that we encase fossils in won't harden in the cold. But at any given time, there can be any number of different digs. We run ours principally from May to through August. But I'll run out in an afternoon if I have a chance, or on a Saturday, on a Sunday, and run and do things. Throughout the western United States, of course, in the southern, southwestern part of the United States, you can conduct field work all year round, you know, if you see fit.
Is there a best practice as far as when you and you're with your students, perhaps, as far as, you know, techniques for searching out fossils? I mean, how do you know when you find one? And, you know, are there certain techniques that you use, as you know, to realize that, oh, that would be a good place to dig?
It really depends on what you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing you want to be concerned with is, what do I have my mind on? If I want to find dinosaurs, I'm not going to go to the Badlands because the rocks are too young. So if I want to find dinosaurs, I'll go up to the northwestern part of the state and take a look in the Hell Creek Formation up there. Once you're up there, it's basically just a lot of legwork. So walking back and forth amongst the buttes and looking around on the ground for something that catches your eye. And once you find something that you determine is a fossil eroding out of a butte, you'll begin to expose that and excavate it, and hopefully it turns into something amazing.
I imagine that it's not uncommon for people to be looking through the same area and missing something that's there, that an outcropping.
Absolutely, yes. There are a number of differences in terms of, you know, personal techniques, attention spans, time of the day. Very rarely does any one person find everything. So the notion that I already looked there's no need to look again is inaccurate.
You never say that. Ah, been there.
Yeah, been there, done that. Yep. Nope. More eyes means more chances to find something.
No. What's the process as far as permitting and getting access to these places, particularly on public versus private lands?
Yep. With private lands, it's basically at the discretion of the landowner. So as a paleontologist accessing private lands, what the landowner says goes, right? In terms of public lands, it varies from agency to agency, but for the most part, if you are collecting vertebrates, you are required to be permitted. And part of the stipulations for a permit are that you need to be a qualified scientist to do this. And more importantly, these fossils need to have a dedicated repository to be housed in once they're collected. And so if I'm a qualified scientist, but I just want to bring these fossils to my basement to work on, that's not going to satisfy the requirements of a permit. So you need to have a federally approved facility in which to store these things.
What about for invertebrates?
Invertebrates, it varies, all right? National Park Service, again, you can't go pick up anything at national parks. But for places like the Bureau of Land Management or the Forest Service, there are certain allowable quantities of invertebrates that can be picked up.
I'm guessing that over the course of, since there have been people looking for fossils in this part of the country, that these laws have changed and evolved to make sure that these specimens are protected and taken care of.
Absolutely, yes. And very recently, Paleontological Resources Preservation Act was made a law in Congress. And that helped sort of solidify and make consistent the laws throughout the various federal agencies. And it actually gave prosecutors some teeth in terms of consequences for illegal collection of fossils. So it's been a big help.
Well, finally, just to talk about the Museum of Geology, as far as people that are interested in this, just stop by and check out what's there.
Absolutely, yes. The museum is on the second floor of the O'Hara Building on the School of Mines campus, which is the main administration building. It's free. We're open year-round. And in addition to that, we have volunteer programs where you can come help us do some of this behind-the-scenes work. We also have summer field programs where folks can come and help me do a little heavy lifting out in the field in the summer.
So it sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people that aren't scientists and paleontologists to be a part of the search and be a part of the research and discovering
Absolutely.
These things.
Absolutely. We could not do this without the help of our enthusiastic public partners. So this would not happen without that.
So. Well, Darren, thanks so much for taking the time to stop by and talk with us.
Thank you very much for having me.